Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
I have a level of expertise, and I have a level of information that nobody else has.
Of The Drive underway, quitting time on your Monday. How does that feel, Bear? First quitting time, number one.
It's pretty good, Russ.
Walking out that door, hard days rocking, but hey, you walk with your chest puffed out a little bit. Numero uno. What's going on, Brandon Orick? You have a very pensive look on your face.
I'm not sure what Bear's doing.
What do you mean?
I don't know. How would you describe his posture?
I've been leaning back in this chair for almost 3 years now.
So, Tennessee ascends to the top of the college basketball universe.
Yeah, baby!
Number one in both the AP and the coaches poll. Tennessee gets 48 of the I'll see if my shot.
Are you aware there was somebody in town that said we didn't deserve to be number one?
64 first place votes. We got 48 out of them. Who? Who? Name them.
They're on TV.
Okay. I'm terrible.
You can't read lips.
No. I wish I had that skill.
Amishauer.
Everybody says, hey, whenever they see like an athlete cursing on the field, it happened in the Kentucky game. Ashton Hagans threw a pass to Keldon Johnson.
I can tell you what
Bill
Belichick was
saying
last night.
He said, wake the bleep up. That's on you. And like somebody had a tweet where they're like, I'm like, how do you know that? I just cannot do that. That's a skill that
it's a learned skill. I learned how to do it. Yeah, when I was working at
I try it every time somebody says the guy like said something I can't see it.
Some are easy.
Belichick's really easy to read. If you work for an extended period of time in an extremely loud environment where you still have to communicate verbally, you can get good at it.
Tennessee gets 30 of 32 first place votes. In the coaches' poll.
Who got first place votes besides us?
Duke got two.
Who do you think that was? Billis and Vitale?
Listen, man, I they're not coaches.
Krzyzewski and Roy Williams? There's no way Roy votes for him.
I still think Duke is very good. I think they have an outside claim at it. I'm admittedly biased. I mean, the records are better. Our one loss is to Kansas with Udoka Azubuike. I realize he only played 18 minutes in that game, but
I feel like we got him out of the game. It was strategy.
That's a good point. Yeah.
We executed. We got him in foul trouble. That being said, I can't figure out. I sat and watched that Duke and Virginia game the other night through the lens of I was sitting there thinking the whole time how Tennessee would match up against either one of them.
Yeah. And they would both be very, very tough matchups.
Very, very tough for different reasons. I think Virginia's just going to pack it in and dare us to shoot the three. And then I think Duke is the one team in the country that can definitely match us athlete for athlete, and if not better. We'd have to have the game of our, you know, we'd definitely have to bring our A-plus game.
I was surprised that Virginia, they seemed to be a little bit rattled by the atmosphere. They were, one of 15 three-point shooting, and they finally hit one there towards the end. But
I mean, how many people does that
That's a veteran team, you know?
I mean, how many people can fit in their gym?
Because
that's a gym.
Yeah. It's like a 10,000-seater or something. But it's loud. It's a great environment. And I don't think that Virginia played their best, and particularly Duke without their point guard, Trey Jones. You know, I thought Virginia would win that game. I'm glad they didn't because it puts us number one, but I was a little bit surprised. I kind of expected them to go in there and win with their backcourt, Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, and the Hunter kid. I mean, you talk about the matchup for us. Is it DeAndre Hunter, I think, against Admiral Schofield? That would be a fun matchup at the three position. Admiral's going to be the key whether if we're playing Virginia or Duke, because he probably draws Zion Williamson if Tennessee ever matches up with Duke. And
so you're convinced they put Admiral on Zion?
I mean, we might try some different guys on him, but that seems to be kind of the matchup, right? I mean, who? I guess you could try Grant on him. It just seems like he might overpower Jordan Bowden. Jordan Bowden, though, I mean, let's take a minute. We've done this a couple of times, but let's take a minute to give the Hornet his due.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been our key guy.
Ever since he got sent to the bench.
And even though he only has what did he end up with against Alabama? 10 points or something like that, but he had a huge shot to stop the bleeding when we hadn't made a field goal in forever.
He stopped
the bleeding from John Petty.
Yeah. He was able to get him off a little bit. And then Grant with that block. I think that's the highest Grant's ever jumped since he's been here. He was way up off the ground to block that one. I wonder if that thing was going in if he hadn't blocked it.
I think it's probably the highest anybody's been in Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena since Ed Gray and LaMarcus Golden were patrolling the backcourt. Going way back for
going cheap shot on those guys. Golly, Russ.
No, he got up. He got up. That was a huge play, no doubt. And Tennessee fortunate in some regards, I guess, to get out of there. We talked about it on voluntary reaction. I mean, Admiral Schofield, 4 of 17 from the field Saturday. But when you had to have it, when you needed it. And some of those were just wide open three looks that he knocks down. He just has made that shot for about a year now, and it just was not falling Saturday. So what does he do in crunch time? Puts the ball on the floor, gets to the rack three times. Should have made it all three times. One, he did miss a little runner there at the rim, but the other two huge buckets in and around the paint to kind of just keep Tennessee breathing, just keep the Vols breathing there when they had to have it. And they had to have it, and they got it as Tennessee wins its 12th in a row, trying to make it 13 against Virginia. Virginia. Now I got Virginia. I got these other teams on the mind, man.
Duke, Virginia, Gonzaga.
Yeah.
What'd you make of Jerry – saying the only thing I didn't agree with him on was, is Wisconsin that good this year? I feel like it's a game Michigan definitely should have won. I mean, is Wisconsin ranked?
They were not at the time of the game Saturday, I'd imagine.
They've only lost like 4 or 5 games, I think, all year. I mean, they're a decent team.
Do you realize last year they missed the NCAA tournament for the first time in 18 years?
Are you kidding me?
Wisconsin.
Sneaky good at basketball.
Well, Bo Ryan had, I mean,
very consistent.
They won a national championship.
Freaking when? Wisconsin.
Wait, who did,
or no, sorry.
They were right to Kentucky.
Sorry. I got the game confused.
Well, I mean, they were there.
Was that the year that we played Michigan in the Sweet 16? Was that the Conzone year?
I don't know. It all runs together.
I really think it was.
I want to say it was a year or two after that. Because they lost to Kentucky in, was it a semifinal or was that the championship, the Frank Kaminsky team?
Because I could have sworn
they beat Kentucky in a semifinal.
That Wisconsin beat Michigan to go to the Final Four that year.
Yeah, Wisconsin beat the Carl Anthony Towns team that was undefeated and then lost to Duke, the team with the first year he had a couple of one-and-dones. Who's the big guy on that team, Okafor? And the guy who Justice Winslow.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, Bo Ryan. He had that thing rolling for a while.
Yeah, I mean, did you guys watch that game? Michigan, I don't know what to make of them, man. I was not as impressed as I thought I would be. I am impressed by everything about John Beilein and that program. They lost their three top scorers off a team that went to the national championship game last year, and they might be better this year. It's a pretty impressive. They're very similar to what Rick Barnes has built here. That's why I look at Tennessee, Virginia, and Michigan, and three very, very similar programs.
Yeah, I've not had a chance to watch Michigan play so far this year, but I mean, it looks like them and Michigan State are kind of the class of the Big Ten. I'm looking forward to that game whenever those two meet up.
Captain Touchback says, hypothetically, you can Galooly Zion with Derek Walker. Do you get that reference, Brandon?
No.
You could Galooly?
Yeah.
You don't get that?
You don't get it? Well, you get it. I mean, Brandon was 2 years old when that happened.
I get it. Jeff Galooly was the guy who took the crowbar to Nancy Kerrigan's knees for Tonya Harding.
Gotcha.
Do you remember waking up that day? I had never heard of Nancy Kerrigan or Tonya Harding. Had no idea.
This is back in a huge crush on Nancy Kerrigan.
In the early 90s, like nobody knew.
She was America's darling.
Or everybody watched SportsCenter in the morning. That was just what people did. This is before the internet and everything. And
didn't have these things.
And I just remember waking up, going to school that day. I think I was in high school. Was this maybe 94? And turning on the SportsCenter and just seeing this ice skater. Why? Like, what the hell is that? Like, what? I'd never heard of these people, and all of a sudden that became the sports story of the decade.
Sports story. I mean, they were covering it on CNN. I mean, she was like, it was right before the Olympics. It was the U.S. Nationals. Tonya Harding's boyfriend got his buddy. Remember that guy?
What was the boyfriend's name?
Was Galooly.
No, Galooly was the hitman.
No, Galooly was the boyfriend. Trust me. I followed this closely. I remember, I'm an Olympics freak.
Hold on.
Jeff Galooly, the other.
Do we need the Olympic music?
Please. Please. Put it on. Why even ask?
Okay, you're right. She was married to Jeff Galooly.
Sean is the guy's first name. I can't remember his last name.
The hitman?
Yeah, the crowbar.
It was a big fat guy, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he's kind of a gingerish fat guy. Were those games in Albertville?
Shane Stant? Was that it? The assailant was Shane Stant.
Shane Stant?
Contracted to break her right leg.
Yeah.
That's wild.
He didn't.
Was it Sean Eckert?
Sean Eckert, that's it. Chubby guy.
Yep. 1994.
Popped up,
well,
cracked her across the kneecaps.
That's the best thing that's ever happened in the Winter Olympics. It's a complete waste of time otherwise.
You're full of crap. The greatest thing that's ever happened in the Winter Olympics? How dare you? Let me sit up for this. Yes, I'm leaning back in a chair.
The Winter Olympics sucks. It's boring. It's stupid.
Do you believe in miracles, Russ? Obviously not. Brooks rolling in his grave.
That was
right
before
now.
I was born.
Lake Placid was?
We won 1980, right?
What? Oh, that's right.
I was born in the summer that year. It was that.
You were around, you just weren't.
Stop.
Yeah.
You're in my head now.
Got you rattled. Doesn't happen often.
The Winter Olympics suck. We won the Cold War anyway. That's what I was going to say. We won the Cold War. You know what? It didn't have a damn thing to do with that stupid hockey game. That's right. I said it.
No. You take it back now.
The best thing that ever happened, the only reason I've ever paid attention to the Winter Olympics is when that dullard, Jeff Galluli, hired some earthquake-looking dunce to go in with a crowbar and smash Nancy Kerrigan's shin. Eckert? Sending some big redheaded buffoon in there. Why? Why? Because she wanted to win, you dummy. She wanted it more than you. She got her husband to hire a goon to come and crack you in the leg with a crowbar. Welcome to America, sweetheart. Win at all costs. That's why. Too much?
A little bit.
Let's take a quick timeout. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio.
I've got some breaking
animal. We're
number
one. We're number one. We're going to the breaking news desk when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio. If Grant Williams doesn't foul out at the end of the Kansas game,
we're probably undefeated right now.
Do we finish that off? Because it's been a while. I have to go back and look at that. But as I recall, Dedrick Lawson and him were going at it, and they were both having big games. Like, neither was stopping the other. They were both up around 20 points. And then Grant fouled out at the end of the game, and – Lawson torched us in overtime.
Yeah.
Who's the long – LeGerald Vick hit a crazy three against us. And then – and you talk about Bowden. Like, his season this year is going the opposite of how his season last year went. Remember how he was on fire? Like, he was shooting like 60% from three-point range through the non-conference portion of the season. And then once the book got out on him, people started really keying in on him defensively, and then he kind of struggled offensively for the rest of that season. Still a great defensive player, but did not finish the way he started. This season, remember he had the key turnover against Kansas in overtime? He's coming up the curl play, and he just lost control of the ball.
Yeah.
Like, just an awful turnover at the time, and that it was pretty decisive, if we're being, as I recall. And you're thinking, oh, man, well, this
– he didn't have his head on straight.
Well, you're just thinking he is what he is at that point. Like, he'll hit a nice percentage of three-pointers in not games that don't matter, but games that aren't as big. Plays good defense for you.
Yeah. Either that, or he's just, when it's automatic, he shoots the ball so much better. That's how it was.
That's what we were thinking about him at the time. But this year, once we got to conference play,
he's improved
the other way around. Yeah. Now he's playing like he was the non-conference portion of last season.
That's fine. We need this version of him to be playing when we hit the tournament. The one that can't miss and play smothering defense. Or, you know, he's not afraid. He does better, you know, creating his own outside shot, I guess. They're just falling. What did he go the other night against Arkansas? Like 5 of 7?
Oh, he was on it. Unstoppable. Do we feel like is he coming into his own now, or has he hammered out his role? He's still not a guy that, like, you're going to put the ball on the ground and just attack. And he's explosive. You know, the run-out dunk against Missouri.
Yeah.
He's a great athlete.
Good for those. And then he's got to be able to be the guy on the team. Him and Lamonte both, if teams are wanting to sit back in a 2-3 zone on us, they've got to be able to just make him pay for it, but it's bombing from the outside to pull him out of it. Because I think we can get off on anybody playing man-to-man with Grant and Admiral and Kyle underneath.
Portions of the show this afternoon brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank, where you can earn 1.75% on a free checking account at Citizens National Bank. Get the interest you deserve. Call today for details. 865-453-9030. 3-1. Citizens National Bank online at cnbtn.com. Be sure to follow them on Twitter at cnbtn for periodic updates to their blog there on the website. They do a great job providing you with all kinds of free stuff in addition to the free checking, free internet banking, free bill paying, free e-statements, no minimum balance requirements, free blog tips with all kinds of just general finance tips to help you keep your financial house in order. It's Citizens National Bank. Let's go to the Fox Sports Knoxville breaking news desk this afternoon. Bear, we have a story coming in from the Eastern Hemisphere.
Yep, Russell. Dateline Punjab.
What?
Punjab. Man mauled to death by a pair of lions in a Punjab zoo. A man in his mid-20s, Russ, was mauled by lions apparently earlier today inside the Chhatarpur Zoo in Punjab's Zorakpur, some 22 kilometers from the capital city of Chandigarh. He is suspected to be a mentally unstable or a drug addict. He climbed over a 25-foot wall
this
from
is
the
a
rear,
zoo?
Yeah, rear of the lion safari, then climbed another 5-foot chain link mesh barricade to jump inside the lion safari area.
He just wanted to pet him or something, or he's just
I don't know. He was first. Quit interrupting me, sir.
I was banging 7-gram rocks.
He was first noticed by a lioness, Shilpa, who had been relocated from a Hyderabad zoo in 2015. As a lioness attacked the man, a lion named Yuvraj.
The best part of this is just Bear saying Indian words, by the
also way. Also attacked the trespasser. The pair of they targeted the neck of the man, making it difficult for him to breathe.
Go for the jugular.
He was left badly injured and later was declared brought dead by doctors at the nearby civil hospital.
So he didn't make it?
No. In fact, there was eyewitness account of the tragedy. The Lion Safari bus was taking visitors on a guided tour.
How'd you like to
inside
see that?
The jungle area where the big cats are kept. The drivers and others panicked on seeing the man being attacked. An alert was sounded. The driver moved the vehicle, carrying visitors out of the safari area. The pair attacked the man for about five to 6 minutes. Damn. Zoo field director M. Sudhagar said the man was not a visitor. What the hell? What, an interloper? The zoo lion safari area has been shut down for 2 days, pending the probe into the incident.
Look at the bright side. The zoo will be able to save a lot of money feeding those lions for the next day or two.
Fiscally conservative Bear should be happy about that.
Yeah.
I wonder how long that tied him over for. How much meat does a lion eat in a day, I wonder?
Five lions on one human?
That's a snack. A full-grown male lion's what, like 500-600 pounds?
I mean, I guess it depends on...
It'd be like me, you, Brandon, probably Butler, and our new intern.
Like our... You know, if they get, you know, like a five-seater like you might see at the typical Alabama Walmart...
Roll-down tide.
I'd say one of those could... Could last a full-grown lion a couple of days. Good meal.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you remember.
That's why I try and stay fit. Try and stay thin. And hopefully, a lion will see me and be like, "Nah."
Wait, but they didn't. They didn't eat the man as a whole, right? No. They just like ate a couple of his limbs.
No, I don't even think they did that.
I feel like it was not even a snack for those lions.
No, they really didn't even eat him.
The lions don't care. Remember your buddy? They lost the arm. That was a small child.
Yeah.
Didn't it stop the lion from ripping his arm off?
3-year-old stuck his fingers in there, scratched that nose.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Ryan.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Rams bottom.
I can't believe you really went down the rabbit hole on Matt, didn't you? That's not what he died from. But yeah.
I know.
Tried to touch a lion on the nose.
So the he'll pour one out for that guy.
He's a good defensive end, man.
Who?
Matt.
Oh, okay. I know who we're talking about.
Yeah, my buddy.
865-546-8200. If you want to get on the drive this afternoon here on Fox Sports Knoxville, it's Fan Run Radio. See where Pacquiao might have to hang it up? He might have a detached retina. won the fight Saturday against Adrian Broner, but
what the hell is a detached retina?
I've heard that it's painful.
Have you?
Yeah.
I mean, I know where it is and what all, but why does that? I mean, can you go blind if you keep getting hit in it once it's detached? Well,
he complained of pain and vision loss in his eye after the fight. He is reportedly scheduled to fly home to the Philippines to see an eye specialist, and some in his camp are claiming that the injury was a minor corneal scratch from the tape on Adrian Broner's gloves, but if he is diagnosed with a detached retina, it would likely be the end of his career.
Isn't that what ended Andy Sugar Ray Leonard's?
Well, I don't know. But they're saying, you know, that it was going to be a matchup with Mayweather, and you see a couple of 40-year-olds out there duking it out.
Yeah, Mayweather dodged him back when. And this is one time I don't really blame Mayweather, because Manny was refusing to do, like, Olympic-level anti-doping testing.
I did not see that fight, but I'm told that Pacquiao looked as good as he's looked in a long time.
Really?
And Broner, I mean, he's kind of washed up too. It's weird, man. These fighters really are fighting into their 40s now. I mean, Mayweather's still in excellent condition.
Yeah, but it's a smaller guys. You're not seeing heavyweights fighting into their 40s. Hell to the Klitschko's, and they're already out of the game.
It's a young man's game. Did you see did you see Greg Hardy in the UFC event the other night?
I heard he got disqualified.
Yeah.
How bad was the movie that he did?
I mean, the guy was like on his knees, kind of like kneeling in front of him, and Hardy kneed him right in the head, pretty much knocked him out, which is a rule. You can't knee a guy who's down.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It used to not be that way. Back in the old days.
The way it is now.
Did you think the stoppage should have happened in that last fight?
In the Dillashaw fight? I thought
highly debated.
He was getting rocked. Henry Cejudo.
Yeah.
That was a bad man.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah, he came out like a hurricane. And I thought the stoppage was early, yes, but those refs have a tough job. And we talk about officiating. Like, that's like – with all the stuff on head injury. I mean, because he was just getting blitzed, right? And all those blows were going to the head.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm not a ref myself, so I don't know, you know, what the particular judgment is. But, like, I'm not upset about that at all. He's going to get hammered.
It was a quick stoppage, but I thought if they had let it go, like, another 10 or 15 seconds, it was looking like it was going to be stopped.
Yeah.
Dillashaw says he was still wrestling at that point, and he was scrambling around, but he was getting lit up. Lit up. All right, stay with us. All right. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio. We'll get back to these phone calls when we continue next here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive.
Jason says, don't forget Admiral went like 5 of 20 against Kansas. Unfortunately, that is what hurt us that game. Gain a couple of possessions from those shots if he didn't take, and we win the game. It's true. I'd forgotten about how bad he was in that game. But it was weird. Like, it was kind of similar to what happened Saturday, where he was off the entire game against Kansas, and then once Grant fouled out, you're like, oh, crap, we're in trouble here. And then Admiral kind of put us on his shoulders. And
when he really turned it on was in – overtime of the Gonzaga game, wasn't it? Did we go to overtime? No, the end of it.
Well, he hit a bunch of threes in that game. I think, and far be it from me, I'm not.
He hit the game winner.
I don't want to be critical of the Admiral at all because he's such a beloved figure.
Wouldn't.
But if, like, I do feel like sometimes he settles for the three when he's so big and physical, I would like to see him attack the rim.
Draw fouls more.
It seems like he let. And maybe this is just part of the way we play, but it seems like he kind of, I don't want to say gets lost, but is kind of like waiting for the game to come to him a little bit at times. And when it comes to him, it comes big, man, because he can stroke it, and he is a
now, what game
complete
was it?
Player.
He had a bad first half. And was it Arkansas? No, it wasn't Arkansas because we played so bad. Maybe it was, where he came out and hit like the first 12 or 14 points we scored. It was recent, one of the games recently. You remember, Brandon?
I think –
I think it was Arkansas.
I mean, he went off.
The thing, and this, you know, we saw it Saturday against Alabama. I think Alabama is a little bit better team than some of y'all are giving them credit for. We'll see. I could be wrong. I often am. But it shows that one or two guys off, because we're going to play better teams than that, no doubt. We're going to have to play better teams than that to win. Kentucky is doing what we said they would do. That's a good team now. Auburn's a good team.
You're getting some blowback on Twitter.
For what?
Mike on Twitter. Shut up, Russell. Admiral's an All-American. Just shut the hell up.
I mean, state that he went, 4 of 17 the other day?
No, but you preempted it by saying, you know, you got to give these Admirals a fan favorite, man. People are going to white knight for him, whether he deserves it or not.
Well, I mean, hey, no more so than me. You got to love the Admiral. But whether it's him, Grant, Bone, you know, one of these guys disappears in a big game, it's going to be really difficult to win. That was the thing about Gonzaga.
If we're playing like Gonzaga, Kansas, Duke, Michigan, yeah. Those
the
teams.
Thing about Gonzaga is we were hitting on all cylinders for pretty much the whole game. Like, yeah. I don't feel like anybody had a bad game that game. And
But that was the one where he got the shot at the end of the game, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He hit a couple of big shots at the end of that one.
But the three.
He hit the game winner. It was tied, and he hit a three. All right, let's get back to the phones. Buckeye Guy is up next on the drive. Hello, Buckeye Guy.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing well. How are you, man?
Doing great, Bear. How's it going, man?
Not bad, man.
Well, good. I'm happy to hear that from you. But just real quick, on the USC thing, then I'll get to Tennessee. The rule is if there's one knee on the ground, you cannot throw a knee at him. In this case, yes, the other guy was trying to get up off the ground. In fact, he had picked up one knee onto the foot, but his second knee was still on the ground, and as soon as he got kneed, yeah, as Russ said, that basically knocked him out cold. I mean, he was out of it. And so, of course, it was immediate stoppage. And then on the other one, as Brandon said, man, it's just so hard to judge, especially when somebody's getting their head beat in. I think it was an early stoppage time for sure. But, you know, that's us as viewers seeing what happened. That's, you know, the ref simply sees a guy down there getting absolutely torched. So I can't blame the ref for stopping it, but I do think it was early.
Because he was getting – it wasn't like he was getting some just huge shots. I never felt like Dillashaw was – like it was almost lights out, but he was landing so many of them. I mean, he was just beating on that dude's head like a tom-tom drum.
Yeah, he wasn't missing. So, again, you can't really blame the ref or throw criticism. Well, I take that back. A lot of people do throw criticism at him because they say, well, you know, he's been doing it for so long. He should know better. He should have a better eye for that. Let's put it this way. It wasn't as bad as the no call for the Saints game. Let's put it like that.
Certainly not.
And being a Saints fan, man, that just pisses me off. But I don't want to talk about that. But, funny thing I think I mentioned to you, being from Kentucky, you know, of course, I have a lot of friends on social media that are UK fans. One in particular, golly, so stupid. One in particular, this week, or I should say Sunday, or maybe Saturday night after Tennessee won and Virginia got beat, commented on Facebook saying, Tennessee is going to be ranked number one. It will be the most overrated number one seed in the past 20 years. I comment on there, and I said, not to be mean, but this might be the most idiotic statement I've ever seen in my life. I said, they have one loss in overtime to Kansas, which they should have won. I said, and they've been playing this well for the past 2 years. I mean, I've said this for about the past month now. I said, the best three teams, in my opinion, overall teams, when everybody's healthy, is Duke, Tennessee, and Virginia. And I think Virginia showed that this week about how good they played Duke. But, yeah, I mean, and you're, Russ, I don't want to say it's shade you're throwing at Admiral, but I agree with you. You know, he settles in that second half, you know, of the Gonzaga game. He absolutely lit it up in overtime. But, I mean, he's not a, what, 7-for-20 player? He should be shooting, in my opinion, from the floor, that this in three-point line. But overall, he should be shooting at the very least 50%. And the reason being is, you know, he's, what, 6'8"? And, I mean, he's got a freaking defensive end body. He should be getting the shots he wants.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really being critical here. I'm just saying that you can't. The other day, we probably don't win if he continues to just shoot from 3-point range. His decision to drive hard to the basket three times, and he made two of those three shots at the end of the game, helped win us the game.
I agree. And
the other
I know
game
right
we're being critical here, the Kansas game, like, again, once he started going to the basket hard, like, he was all we had
in overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a game changer when he plays like that. And looking at the game this weekend, I think it was very, very good for Tennessee. And here's why I say that. And I think it shows how good they actually are. And the reason I say that is because overall, as a team effort, in the first half, it looked like they were going to dominate. But overall, as a team effort, they showed that even in the ugly games where they don't play up to par to their standards, they can come out with the win. Now, I tweeted you, Russ and John, and said, talking about that walk call, which it was a walk, and it was for sure a walk. I didn't think it was at first, but then after showing a replay from a different angle, it definitely was a walk, and the ref had a better view of it. But I think that game definitely showed that they can, you know, even in the ugly games where it looks like they may take the L, that they can pull it out. Now, one more thing, and I'll let y'all go back to your thing. What do y'all with Grant Williams? What do you think? Do you think he'll go to the draft after this year? And here's why I say that, because, you know, Admiral is a high second round pick. Grant Williams, to me, if he went out this year, I feel like he'd be a first round. I don't want to say he'd be a lottery pick. I think he'd be a first round. I think he'd be higher than Admiral coming out even this year. But I think if he came back next year, he would for sure lock up that lottery position. I'll let y'all go. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Not to piss anybody off, but I don't see that.
Don't see what?
Grant being a lottery pick.
Neither do I. Neither do I. Now, I could see both him and Admiral having solid NBA careers if they get in the right situation. I mean, it's a lot like a quarterback in the NFL. A lot of it is are you going to a good franchise who can develop you? There's not too much pressure on
you. I feel like Admiral's got a better chance.
If those guys can continue to develop the outside shot, they're going to have to be three-point shooters. That's just – period.
Yeah.
And they are athletic enough to defend. What position are those guys going to guard in the NBA? One of those guys going to step out and check Kevin Durant? You know, I know that's one of the best players, but they're not guards. I think we all, you know, they're going to have to play the three or the four and positionless basketball or whatever, but there are going to be times where those guys are going to be guarding somebody who's 6'10" or taller.
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to handle that? I mean, that's going to be the thing with those guys. All right, quick timeout here. It is The Drive. It is Fan Run Radio. Speak now, forever hold your peace. The shocking conclusion of the show coming up right after this.
The Drive.
It's a new year.
Information that nobody else has. This is The Drive.
Check It or Wreck It. Brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl, the official law offices of The Drive.
This year's Tennessee basketball team would beat the 2008 team that was ranked number one for a week.
I will check it with the caveat that, I mean, I think they would, but then again, like I said, man, I'm not going to pick against Chris Lofton, so wreck it. They wouldn't.
Who, refresh my memory, who were some of the big men on that team?
Wayne Chisholm, oh, yeah. Tyler Smith, Ryan Williams.
Let's see.
20-year-old, 21-year-old Wayne Chisholm.
Here's the thing. It was such a different team because have we played anybody that runs the way that 08 team ran.
Louisville probably be the closest, maybe.
They were pretty half-court oriented.
I feel like they ran some.
Maybe a little.
Kansas run on us?
A little bit.
Memphis tried to, but they were
horrible. I'm going to check it because hashtag recency bias is strong.
I think you're forgetting how good Wheezy was.
Yeah, I'll check it as well.
Grant Williams will be back for his senior year.
I'll check it.
You checking it? I'm checking it as well. I think he needs to.
And he seems like a Peyton Manning type in that he really enjoys the college experience. He seems like he's
But he's probably going to graduate in May. I don't know when he's graduating, but would it really surprise you if Grant Williams graduates in 3 years?
Comes from a, you know, he's not like an impoverished background or anything.
I think with an undergrad degree, he'd still probably be the least educated person in his family.
And he's still got like, you know, he can make money outside of basketball. I don't know this for sure. Maybe I'm assuming too much, but it doesn't seem like he's the type that's chasing money. Like he's got to take care of his family or anything like that. And I agree with the caller last segment that if he comes back and continues to, like, if he's averaging, what, 19 points, like 7 or 8 rebounds a game. If he can get that scoring average over 20, get in even better shape, like, he could probably improve his stock by coming back. Holly Warrick and the Lady Vols defeat Arkansas tonight on We Back Pat Night at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena.
Good God, I hope so.
you sound like a broken man.
Do you realize what? My Lady Vols have fallen out of the top 25 for the first time?
Really? We're not ranked?
I don't think so, man.
When was the last time that happened? Has that ever happened in the history of them keeping that poll?
Probably not.
Wow.
This is where we are.
I will check it. I think they win tonight.
I don't wreck it. I think that thing's broken.
Oh, my God.
The NFL should allow pass interference to be reviewed.
I don't think pass interference should, but I think yesterday what should have been reviewed is – that was a caught whatever you want, a hit on a defenseless receiver.
In the college game, they would have stopped and reviewed it and called the penalty.
Oh, yeah, and that guy would have been ejected. It was absolutely textbook definition of headhunting and targeting.
I will wreck it. I don't think – I'm with Bear. I don't think pass interference should, because then I think you open up Pandora's box and then the game gets entirely too long.
You know what's wild is it's the – in college, they would have called that targeting. In the NFL, if you breathe on a quarterback, it's a 15-yard penalty. But in college, they will let you kill the quarterback. That's the way the rules are set up. You can drive them into the ground. I watched it all year with Garantano.
That's a good point. The Brady thing yesterday reminded me of the, I believe it was the 06 Florida game. Urban Meyer's second team. Right. Florida team that went 12-0 and won a national championship. And we went toe-to-toe with them. And I believe it was early in the third quarter, there was a play where Marvin Mitchell had a pick six that would have given us the lead and all the momentum. We might have even had the lead.
God.
And they called it back because JT Mapu hit Chris Leak in the helmet just with his hand. And they it was a point of emphasis that year. Any contact with the quarterback's head is an automatic 15-yard penalty. And you cannot convince me that that didn't lose us the game. I mean, that was
– yeah, it did lose us the game.
You know, and that was a Tennessee team that went 9-3 that year. Very good team. That was the team that blitzed Cal in the season opener. That was a very good Florida team, granted. They won the national championship, but I think Tennessee would have beaten them if
that year was
not
a missed opportunity. Was that the year that Inky got hurt?
Yeah, it was Inky Johnson and Justin Harrell.
Yeah, losing Inky Johnson just took the heart out of that team the way he went out.
Checking Records brought to you by OEB Law. You check them out online at recordtoacheck.com or call 865-546-1111 for OEB Law. Let's get Big Josh in here while we got a few minutes. Big Josh, you're on the drive.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Hey, I'm loving to listen to all these Saints fans crying, whining about targeting calls. Talk about hypocrisy.
Why is that?
I mean, Sean Payton was suspended for an entire year for putting bounties on guys.
Yeah, I always thought that was a joke, Big Josh. There's bounties on all those guys across all teams.
Who got caught?
They were making an example out of them. Old man Benson had pissed off.
Pittsburgh Steelers were absolutely robbed in New Orleans on pass interference calls. Three.
James Harrison robbed. Almost ended people's lives.
The Saints shouldn't even have been playing at home. They should have been playing in L.A. They shouldn't have even been playing in the Dome.
Hey, Josh, 2, 3, 4, 5 wrongs don't make a right. That was pass interference yesterday. You know it. I know it. The whole world knows it.
Right. That's what makes it so beautiful. And it wasn't pass interference on Pittsburgh. And you know it, and I know it, and everybody else knows it. So, you know, that's football, man. Sometimes you don't get the call.
Josh is tickled.
Sometimes you do.
He's tickled.
Well, let him cry.
Yeah, it's pretty sour grapes from Josh. Who knew Josh could still be this salty weeks later?
Well, the Saints are a classless organization, man.
Whoa.
I mean, bounty gate.
The Cincinnati Bengals or anything. They aren't Vontaze Burfict and the Bengals. Now, come on now, man.
Your head coach is suspended for an entire year, I mean –
That was a joke.
Even Belichick didn't even get that.
Well, no, Belichick's got more power than Peyton does. They let him steamroll all the evidence of his cheating that got all those early Super Bowls for your boy Brady.
He's not my boy. I'm not a Brady fan, but I honestly would have had to pull for the Patriots if the Saints would have got in.
God, Josh, for real?
Let's not talk crazy.
Yeah, I despise the Saints after that. Steelers game, they absolutely robbed us from the playoffs this year. And who's to say what we would have done in the playoffs, man? We beat the Patriots.
Y'all ain't got nobody to blame but yourselves, man. Y'all squandered.
We got a receiver. We got the rest to blame. The Saints fans ain't having no problems blaming them.
It shouldn't have come down to that one game, Josh, as good as the Steelers were this year.
Got to look in the mirror, Josh. Got to look in the mirror. Yours is a dysfunctional organization.
Yeah, it is that. I give you that. We got a clown as a head coach. Coach Chuck and Jive needs to go, but we're not gonna fire him because that's what we don't fire head coaches in Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate the phone call. That's gonna do it for us. Number one, get some.
Overtime.
Coming up 6 to 8 here on Fan Run Radio. We'll do it again tomorrow here on The Drive.
Why?